Welcome to another day with Jesus. The power is where it's always been. The Word of God is alive. You are listening to challenging devotions and heart-inspiring conversations with Pastor Prigi and Rajmi Varghese. Visit www.pastorprigi.com for more resources.
Greetings to you in Jesus' precious name. Thank you for joining along this morning on a Saturday special podcast. We've been studying so many different topics over this last few weeks, and we are back to speaking and learning a little bit more on leadership this morning. And I'm very excited to have a dear friend. His name is Phillips Dayanidhi. He is here with us on the podcast this morning, and we'd be having a conversation with him. In fact, this is more like a learning interview for myself too, because I get to ask him questions and I get to hear his heart on the whole thing. He works with Bosch, but God has been using him in different areas, in leadership, in family, in mentoring young leaders, young pastors especially. One of the greatest sources of blessing for me and Rashmi has been Phillips and his wife Rupa. They've been continually speaking to us in the area of marriage, and we've been so much inspired with their personal life and their marriage. And it's so good to have you here, Phillips, and welcome to this podcast. Would you just like to greet? And
thank you very much, Prigi, for having me over. It's my pleasure to come and share what little I know. And one of the things I realize, the more I learn, the more I understand how little I know.
Yeah.
Whatever I share, I hope it's a blessing to the audience and they're able to benefit from it by God's grace.
Amen. Can you just give us a little detail about the course that you're doing? Because I know that in India, especially because we're going to be talking on leadership today, I know that in India there are very few good Christian leadership equipping courses available, and most of them are conferences, not necessarily full-fledged courses. Can you give us a little detail on the course that you're doing? I'm sure you know somebody who is wanting to pursue it could be blessed.
Yeah, it is a master's program. It's called as MA in Organizational Leadership.
Okay.
It is primarily organized by a unit called DAI, Development Associates International.
Okay.
They liaison with the local university.
I see.
Martin Luther University.
Okay.
And through that, the master's degree is provided.
Okay.
The course itself is unlike any other course, mm-hmm. because for one, it is very introspective.
Mm-hmm.
It is very reflective, mm-hmm. on what we as leaders are going through.
Right.
It's not just about the concepts of leadership. It's not just about the tools and methods.
Right.
But it's about what transformation is happening within the individual who's going through this course.
Right.
It's a three-year master's, unlike any other master's.
Mm-hmm.
It's got six semesters, and each semester we have to attend a cohort or classes for 1 week.
Right.
One of the faculties comes, shares about the subject. So we have 2 subjects per semester.
Okay.
At the end of the semester, we have an exam,
mm-hmm.
and through the semester we have every month 1 or 2 assignments to submit.
I see.
And these assignments are also very reflective.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just about the material we get, but it's also about what the material is doing in us and for us.
Right. What kind of subjects is there in the semesters?
We started with finance and integrity.
Okay.
Servant leadership.
Okay.
Strategic thinking for a non-profit organization.
Okay.
About teaching,
mm-hmm.
how do we teach adults? It's so much different from teaching children and the youth.
Mm-hmm.
How do we teach adults who are experienced so that we are able to apply it in the church context, apply it in teaching context, even at the corporates or any other places.
Mm-hmm.
The recent subjects is on spiritual formation, on mentoring,
mm-hmm.
From a Christian perspective.
Mm.
How does mentoring apply for us in today's context?
Mm-hmm.
So these have been very personal.
Mm.
Particularly, there were tests on how good is my integrity on finance.
Mm-hmm.
How it was more about integrity rather than on finance.
Right.
That was a good experience for me to go through. Yes. Spiritual formation particularly has been a very, very beneficial.
What do you mean by spiritual formation? What is the...
It's coming to the core of what is spirituality.
Right, okay.
This question itself startled me because many of us have varied definitions of what is spirituality.
Right, right.
Is it about praying more? Is it about reading the Bible more? Is it about involvement in ministry?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it about Christ-likeness forming within us?
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of questions that were taken through for us to develop spiritual disciplines, for us to be able to get down to nothingness, so that we experience the completeness of God.
Right, right.
And what I realized in this is there was so much of pride in me, so much of me in me, that it was I was becoming a block for God to work in me. So through this course, I was able to let go of that self, let go of who I am, or who I wanted to be rather, and was able to allow God to bring the transformation.
Wow, wow.
I must say that it's really worth its time,
worth its
all the resources we can put in.
Right. That's amazing to hear. Like, very few times have I heard that an academic course has affected me personally than just give me a knowledge about a topic to say that, okay, if it has affected me personally, it definitely is something worth spending time on. What is the website that you mentioned again? DAI?
DAI, developmentsassociatesinternational.org.
Okay, DAI.org. So the information is there for people.
Information is there.
Wow, that's amazing. Phillips, if I have to ask you from this perspective, I know that you are a leader in the marketplace. You've been working as much as you've been a leader in the church. So many times, Christian leaders are so focused only on the leadership in the church and they fail to be relevant to the leaders in the marketplace or lead other people, and vice versa. The leaders in the business place, they don't get involved in church because they think this doesn't work there, that doesn't work here. What is your perspective on the principles that we learn from God's word on leadership? Do you think I can apply the same principles and achieve similar results in the church as much as I can get it in a business or in a corporate company or you know, in the secular world as much as I can get in the church? Or are there different principles for the church and different principles for...
I don't think there are different principles.
Okay.
When I skim through the Bible and look at different leaders...
Okay.
Most of them, just to differentiate, were secular leaders.
Right.
Nehemiah, who's projected as one of the model leaders in the Bible, was in a corporate place, so to say. He held a position in a kingdom. He was serving the king.
Right.
Daniel, who's another great example of leadership in the Bible.
Right.
He held a position in the kingdom as a prime minister. Joseph, who's another beautiful example of leadership through different circumstances and situations, was head of a prison.
Right.
He was head of slaves in a home. So the principles itself doesn't vary.
Right.
On the contrary, whatever principles we learn from the Bible is what you will begin to see even in the management books.
Right.
Except there are no quotes and references from the scripture.
Right, right.
Ironically, I discovered a book on servant leadership, which is not written by a Christian, not written by a believer. It is written by one Robert Greenleaf, who was a so-called secular leader.
Wow. Okay.
He applies the principles of servant leadership without a quote from the Bible. We do not know what influence he had from any Christian realm, but the principles are amazing.
Wow.
So what I gather from that is, first of all, if you're a leader, you need to learn to lead yourself.
Right, right.
And when you need to learn to lead yourself, there are certain aspects of integrity, character that comes in. And you can't wear a leopard's cloth at corporate and wear a sheep's cloth in the church.
Right, right.
It has to be the same, the person.
That's right. That's
so when I'm interested in people in the church, I ought to be interested in people in the corporate world.
Right, right.
If I'm interested in results in the church, I ought to be interested in results in the corporate world.
In the corporate world.
Or vice versa.
Right, right.
As far as I'm concerned, I think it's more of a leader's personhood that matters,
right,
rather than the principles
that he has,
that he or she has.
Right.
Depending on the nature of job one does,
right,
or nature of ministry one does, some skills required may vary.
Right, right.
For example, I need to do more of strategic thinking as part of my work.
Right.
I need to have more of customer connect at my work.
Mm.
That's my role.
Right. Right.
At church, it doesn't mean I switch off strategy.
Yeah, yeah.
I still learn the principles from the scripture on how did Nehemiah apply strategy? How did Paul apply strategy? How did Ezra apply strategy? And then I apply the same in the church too.
Right, right, right.
Similarly, my connect with people. So I think it's leadership is about, is being made into more of tools and principles today.
Right.
Minusing the leader himself.
Right, right.
But at the heart of God, I feel he's more interested in the person,
person of the leader. Yeah.
Rather than
the
what he or she does or the competences that are needed. I'm not undermining the fact we need the competencies.
Right, right.
We need the skills.
Right.
We need the ability to lead, no doubt on that. But more important than all that is that God is interested
in
the
person
of who I am as a leader. If I'm able to succeed at corporate and at church, unfortunately, even in the church, there are many who focus on results,
right,
focus on growth,
yeah,
focus on ministry expansion.
There's
absolutely nothing wrong with that.
Right, right.
What we forget in the bargain is to work on our own character,
right, that's
our
right.
own spiritual discipline,
our
own of who do I still see who I am. I ask myself a question, as a Christian leader who's involved in ministry, if there is no ministry activities,
right,
how will I express my love to God?
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
You ask many Christian ministers today, minus the activities,
the how do you express your love for
they
God?
They will not know how to express the love for God. Because if you minus the activities, it's almost like you rob them of the purpose in life.
Right, right, right.
So what's happened is the ministries being the purpose has superseded who I am in Christ.
Right, right.
And how do I see God and how do I express my love to God?
That's really, really powerful. I pray that many will catch that. And so just to dig a little deeper in that place, if I have to ask you, what is that one thing that could probably stop us from being real as a person? You know, it sometimes, of course, it can be the busyness, it can be the commitments, it can be the. But what is some of the things that stop us from being true to yourself, you know, or like you mentioned that you're not able to lead yourself. What stops people often from doing that?
There are many things. I could list maybe few, but of course the audience may have more reasons to this.
Right.
Number one, I feel, is our activity orientation.
Right, right.
Which sort of keeps us so busy. That we forget the fundamental commandments that the Lord gave us,
right,
of resting.
Mm.
Just today I got a Twitter in which this person who tweeted, he said, even a guitar chord, between the notes, there is a rest. And if there's no rest between the notes, the music makes no meaning.
Right, right.
Leadership in Christendom, as I see it today, has become so activity oriented.
Yeah, yeah.
When I ask full-time ministers or pastors, do you rest on Mondays? They say we are so busy, there's so much to do.
Yeah, yeah.
We forget that we as human beings have been designed to take that Sabbath rest.
Right, right.
To rejuvenate, to recharge, to revive ourselves, to prepare for the next week.
That's right.
So one is the activities. Second, I feel, is also, there's so much of success that's crept into the church from the concept of the world.
Yeah, yeah.
What is success for a Christian leader?
Mm.
Ask yourself a question, or the audience should ask themselves a question.
Right.
What is success? What will God measure us by? In fact, Jesus said, many will come and tell, I did this, I
in
did
your name.
That.
Yeah.
In your name.
Yeah, yeah.
There's absolutely nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, yeah.
But then we notice that Jesus says, but you forgot my will.
Mm-hmm.
And what's his will?
Yeah.
His will is for us to become Christ-like.
Right, right.
So we need to learn to come back to the fundamentals.
Right,
which
right.
If we forget that, we forget why we are.
That's true.
I also feel many of the ministers or leaders,
mm-hmm.
whether it's in the corporate world or the Christian world,
mm-hmm.
base our self-esteem on what we call as the success.
Yeah, yeah.
And we forget that our esteem comes from the Lord.
Right, that's true.
Mm. So if there's no activity, how will you see yourself?
Mm-hmm.
How will you answer questions of other ministers when they meet you and tell you, we had a revival meeting, we had a worship night,
yeah.
we had 12 hours of prayer, we had this and we had that. Will you still be able to hold your self-esteem knowing that you're in the center of God's will?
Right, that's right. That's
so there are many reasons like these. I won't be able to cite everything.
Mm-hmm.
But one fundamental thing that I want to close with for this particular question that you asked is we forget that leadership is about people and not about the leader.
Right, that's true.
It's about who we are leading. It's about their need. That's why I like the word Bible uses, minister.
Yeah, yeah.
The translation of that is servant. In fact, the word leader is hardly mentioned in the Bible.
Right, right.
But the word servant in the New Testament particularly repeats itself.
Right.
And Jesus said, I have come to not to be served, but to serve.
Right.
As leaders, sometimes we can forget that.
Mm-hmm.
We think leadership is about position.
Mm-hmm.
Leadership is about title. Leadership is about doing. And forget, leadership is about servanthood.
Right.
Leadership is about being. Leadership is about fulfilling what God wants us to do.
Wow, that's really, really powerful. You mentioned about how it's so important to be like Jesus, you know, especially in our leadership. So if I have to draw a comparison between the leaders, let's, you know, I'm probably asking you to be a little negative and become a little critical right now to say if I have to compare the church today and the church leaders today with Jesus and the apostles and their style of leadership in the first century church, how different, what are the areas where we have lost it or we have completely missed the goal of Christian ministry? What are some of the things that if I have to ask you to compare the church today from what Jesus and the apostles did in the first century church?
Fundamental, as I mentioned already, is about servantship.
Yeah, yeah.
If you're not being servant.
Mm.
So I see this, may I call it, the curse of charismatic or the starhood of leaders.
Yeah, the celebrity leaders.
Celebrity leaders, that's the right word. The
right.
Celebrity leaders. So there is so much of adoration for the leader, so much of admiration,
right,
that puffs up our ego,
yeah,
that makes us almost rise up to a level where people listen to a leader of the church more than listen to God.
Right, right, right.
They go to the man of God to ask, should I buy this car or not?
Yeah, yeah.
Should I marry this person or not?
Yeah, yeah.
Should I take this job change or not?
Yeah.
The question I ask when people come to me is, what has God told you?
Right. Right.
If you're not heard from God, I can pray with you that God will speak to both of us.
Right, right.
So it's almost like taking the position of
God in somebody's
and
life
and becoming demigods in the lives of people.
That's right. That's right.
And we see this all over. Celebrity leaders, as you rightly said. That's one thing. Second, I feel is there's a lack of accountability.
Yeah. Yeah.
I believe that Jesus, when he sent out the disciples, he sent them two by two.
Yeah.
Not only for their fellowship, it was also for them to encourage one another, for them to be accountable to one another, for them to mentor one another, peer mentoring. I feel this accountability and mentoring is totally gone missing from the leaders. Now, don't get me wrong. the leaders themselves do a great job in mentoring others.
Others, yeah, right.
But the question is, how many of them are being mentored by somebody, someone else?
Right.
5 years into successful ministry, when I say success, I'm talking about numbers as
right,
it is
right.
defined today. 5 years into successful ministry, we think we know it all, we can do it all, and we become so self-sufficient. Even if our prayer life goes missing, we still think we can preach on a Sunday morning.
Yeah.
We still think we can counsel. We still think we can do a lot of those Christian activities,
right.
so to say,
right.
without having to depend on God.
That's
one of my friends asked me a question. He said, "Phillips, if the Holy Spirit is not present in your life, will your ministry still go on?"
Yeah, yeah.
It shocked me. I realized it will.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I seem to do so much out of my ability,
right.
my competence,
right.
my gifting,
right.
rather than my dependence on the
Holy
Spirit.
Yeah.
So it has made me more conscious on a daily basis to ask myself,
yeah.
is the Holy Spirit present in whatever I am doing?
Right, right.
Or am I just doing it with my own ability?
That's extremely powerful.
Accountability, mentoring that's gone missing, wrong definition of success that has crept into the church, as I mentioned to you. And also the focus, as I mentioned earlier, the focus on leader himself has moved away into focus on ministry.
Right.
Focus
right.
on what can be done rather than who one can be in Christ.
Wow. That's the sad state. And I hope that we'll have better leaders, better examples of leaders in the church today. I think that's an area, especially where young people, they struggle, because young people, they look up to leaders who are sometimes, you know, sometimes not the best examples of leaders, and unknowingly they grow up to be the same or become the opposite, because they want to be not like that, and they want to become they'd go to the other extreme, and they are not accountable at all, or sometimes they are or the other. So if I have to ask you, because many of our listeners, they are young people and are involved in ministry and, you know, in young leaders, what are some of the challenges or temptations, if I may call, that young leaders will face? You know, they might not have seen a lot of success yet, but or what are the precautions they can take early on in their life, even as they know that God has called them for big things, even as they know that they're going to go a long way in Christian ministry? What precautions can they, like young leader like me and many other people that are listening, can take early on in life?
First of all, if you review the Bible, there are approximately about 400 leaders who are there. And unfortunately, only 100 of them were successful or finished well.
Wow.
Let me put it this way.
That's such a...
So when I was studying the Book of Kings and Chronicles, and when I was studying the lives of these kings, and I began to see a pattern of how many of them began so sincere, began so well, but they ended so badly.
Right, right.
So first, understand that the probability for you as an individual to fail is very high.
Very high, right.
When I look at 100 out of 400,
that's one-fourth.
One-fourth,
yeah.
25%.
25%,
so 75% probability you won't finish well.
Right.
And statistics from today's leadership in the Christendom are no better than what
that's
we
right.
see in the Bible.
Right.
So number one, understand that you can fail.
Right, right.
None of us
are infallible.
Infallible, insulated from the temptations of power, money, sex, and many other things that come along.
Right.
We've seen even in the recent times leaders falling because of name, fame, money. And these are leaders, if you had spoken to them few weeks back, few months back, they would all say, "I don't think I can fall."
Right, right.
I pray regularly. I read the Bible regularly. I preach. My ministry is growing. Number of people who are influenced by me are growing. My sphere of influence is increasing, etc., etc. But then one day the fall comes.
Right, right.
We need to be very cautious. This is what was told to me by someone which has stayed in my mind. A tree never falls suddenly. There's a termite that's eating it up. Inside of it, unaware to those who behold the tree from outside.
Right, right.
When it falls suddenly, people are astonished, saying, such a strong tree, how can it fall?
Right.
And only when you go and look at the core of that tree,
yeah.
you will realize the termites have been doing their work for years on.
Wow, that's crazy.
And I think in Christendom, as Christian leaders, we got to watch for those termites.
Right, right.
Watch for those termites, because they don't come in saying with a tag, I am a termite and I'm going to eat into your ministry.
Right, right.
They come so subtly, you don't even realize.
And they might be the small things, might not be the phenomenally huge things that, you know, we think that will defeat
Absolutely. Us. Absolutely. Very, very small things.
Mm-hmm.
Praises of people.
Mm, yeah.
Appreciating your message.
Right.
The next time you preach, you will begin to preach for those who appreciated, expecting the same appreciation.
Right, right.
So what is happening is a small thing, but in the big way, if you see, you begin to preach for people's sake rather than for God's sake.
Right, right. That's right.
Okay, so there are small things like that. Pride, which is so subtle that many can become proud of being humble.
yeah, that's right.
You got to watch for that.
That's right. Yeah.
You got to watch out and ask yourself periodically this question. Why am I doing what I am doing?
Yeah.
I read a book called Dark Side of Leadership.
Mm-hmm.
It's an amazing book that every Christian leader needs to read.
Mm.
It's about a research done by these two gentlemen who are the authors of this book. I forget the author's name right now.
Mm-hmm.
Who studied and to understand why do Christian leaders fall at their pinnacle.
Right.
In their glory. Why do they slip from there?
Mm-hmm.
And they found out that the dark side that develops when we are a child, a rejection from a father, a nasty comment by a teacher, maybe a failure that we have had, maybe a girl who rejected when you proposed to her. Many, many examples like these which make you resolve deep within to be successful.
Right,
to
right.
To prove yourself right. To gain that acceptance. To gain that self-esteem through this dark side. So when you read that book, you understand each of us has a dark side. We need to face it. We got to resolve to say, hey, listen, I have a dark side and I need help from someone else to deal with that.
Right.
Take that help and work on it.
Yeah.
Number three, as I mentioned, like Jesus sent 2 by 2, get yourself accountable to someone.
Yeah, yeah.
Is there someone who can address you by your first name and not with your title, senior pastor, founder, blah, 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 right reverend, left reverend, etc., and then your name?
Right.
Instead, just to be able to say, hey, Priji, how are you? How's your quiet time going? How's your relationship with your wife going? Have you been spending time with your wife enough? Have you been spending time with your children enough?
Right.
Forget about the ministry. The success in the ministry is the Lord's doing.
Right, right.
What you give back to the Lord is who you are. And is get yourself accountable to let someone else ask you those questions on a periodical basis.
Wow.
If you look at Paul, who was, so to say, a successful leader, one of the most successful leaders, probably by today's 15,000, 20,000 number, we may say he's not successful. By those terms, even Jesus was not, because at the end of it, he just has 12 minus 1.
He
didn't have a membership of 17,000 or 30,000. He didn't have a mega church or whatever. What I'm trying to drive at is this, that when you look at Jesus' life, when you look at Paul's life particularly, he had a mentor in Barnabas, whom he looked up to. And there came a position when both of them were peers. They moved from Barnabas being higher and mentoring Paul to Barnabas and Paul being able to discuss on issues at peer level.
Right.
And then we find Paul also is mentoring a Timothy.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are a Paul in leadership, you need to have the Barnabases in your life as much as you have the Timothys in your life.
That's right. That's right.
While we all focus on the Timothys, I want to ask yourself a question. Do I have a Barnabas who can ask me some blunt question and make me feel that I need to change?
Right, right.
That's a very important tip that I would like to give.
Especially to young people.
Especially to young people as you start. Another important tip that I would give is don't have admiration for the leaders you looked up to mm-hmm. so high mm-hmm. that they take the position of God.
Yeah, yeah.
Very subtly this happens.
That's right.
That you admire a certain leader, you mm. begin to preach like him, you mm. begin to teach like him,
that's
you begin
right.
to pray like him, you begin mm. to want to be like him.
Mm.
Now there's not absolutely nothing wrong with that.
Mm.
But then you got to watch to say, you are not called to mm. be him.
Right. You're unique.
You are unique.
Right.
See, there is a mango tree.
Mm.
There is a banana tree.
Mm.
If you look at a mango tree, it gives its fruits mm. in season mm. every year.
Yeah. Yeah.
Every year it gives its fruit. Mm. You just harvest the fruit,
mm.
continue to maintain the tree, and mm. you collect the fruit again.
Yeah.
Whereas a banana tree,
mm.
it gives it fruit once,
mm.
then the fruit is chopped. Tree yeah. is chopped off.
Yeah, yeah.
Every part of the tree is useful, of course.
Right.
But if you are called to be a banana tree,
mm-hmm.
don't try to become a mango tree.
Mango tree. That's right.
The problem with young people is they want to be a banana tree, a drumstick tree, and
yeah.
a bamboo tree.
Everything.
And everything that yeah. they are. So watch out
yeah,
that you
yeah.
don't become what you are not.
Amen. That's right.
Finally, there's a leadership illustration I read recently mm. about two different types of trees.
Mm.
One type is a banyan tree.
Okay.
You know, a banyan tree
mm.
establishes itself in its place
mm-hmm.
and it continues to grow its branches and continues to expand that mm. it can become as wide as 10 feet by mm. 10 feet or even bigger.
Yeah.
In fact, we have one on Mysore Road which is called Big Banyan Tree.
Okay.
But it's all about establishing yourself in one place and growing your own kingdom.
Right.
So
right.
to say. But you have a bamboo tree.
Okay.
It just allows other bamboo shoots to grow beside it.
Okay.
And each one of those become a tree by themselves.
Right.
And they multiply.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a movement that happens.
Mm-hmm.
Many of us celebrated leaders
mm-hmm.
are becoming like a banyan tree.
Right, right.
And we fail to realize that mm. we are called just to be a bamboo tree.
Yeah.
I'm alone.
Yeah.
But I need to birth something else
right.
that can grow independently.
That's
so
right.
if you have to release people, mm. release them.
Mm.
If you have to allow people to grow in where they are, allow them to mm. do that.
Mm.
And remember one more thing. Finally, Jesus' core purpose in life, mm. I came not to be served,
but
to serve.
Yeah, that's
ask
right.
yourself a question as a mm. young leader. Am mm. I serving
mm.
or am I leading? Jesus mm. never used the word leader
yeah.
except in the negative term of referring to those who lead the Gentiles.
Yeah.
The leaders among the Gentiles.
Mm.
Jesus never used. Jesus mm. said, I have come to serve.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
he says, be like me.
That's right.
So we got to ask ourselves a question.
Mm.
What is my servanthood quotient
mm.
in mm. my ministry?
That's right.
On a regular mm. basis.
Amen. Amen. On that conclusive note, would you like to just say a word of prayer over people that are listening and would want to see a change in their life, want to see a change in their leadership styles or there are areas in their life where they need to surrender before God? If you could just say a word of prayer over them and, you know, in conclusion, if you have anything to share.
I will. Just before that, I'd just like to remind,
mm.
as a young leader, get yourself a mentor.
Yeah.
Get
yeah.
yourself a coach.
Yeah.
I'm doing a research to find out how many pastors have mm. a mentor or mm. a coach.
Mm.
Even corporate CEOs
mm.
have a coach or a mentor.
Right, right.
Why not pastors?
Right.
Why not church leaders?
Right, right.
So I want to remind you, get yourself a mentor. Who can sow into your life, who
mm.
can ask you some blunt question.
Right.
And I would encourage you to do that.
Yeah.
If not, look at a peer mentor.
Right.
Give permission to someone
mm.
with whom you can just lay down your hair and be yourself.
Yeah.
And just play around, have
yeah.
fun, just chill out.
Mm.
You don't have to mask putting mm. up, I'm a pastor so
right.
and so.
Right.
Just a reminder on what I shared already before I pray.
Yeah.
Shall we pray?
Yeah. Yeah.
Father, we thank you and praise you for each one of the young listeners. Lord, each one of them who is having a desire to grow, desire to learn, desire to be more like you, I pray, Lord, that you will grow them into servanthood. You will grow them to, Lord, imitate you, Lord Jesus, in being able to know the purpose of their life is to serve others and not to be served, Lord. I pray, Father, that you will be with, Lord, each one of them. Help them that they may find mentors and they may stay at the core of it. true to who you have created them to be and what you have purposed for them, Lord. In Jesus' name.
Amen, 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 amen. Thank you so much, Phillips, for taking out your time to come and share and be a blessing to all those who are listening. If somebody has to get in touch with you, what's the best way? You're on Twitter?
I'm on Twitter, Phillips Dayanidhi.
Phillips Dayanidhi, at the rate Phillips Dayanidhi.
At the rate Phil Daya, P-H-I-L-D-A-Y-A.
D-A-Y-A, okay.
Phil Daya, or they can find me on LinkedIn, Phillips Dayanidhi.
Okay.
Or they can email me, phildaya@gmail.com.
phildaya@gmail.com. Thank you so much for giving us this time and being a blessing to us on
my
this
pleasure.
Podcast. And if you've been blessed, make sure to leave a comment. Make sure to share it with somebody else who could also be blessed with this podcast. And we'll see you tomorrow morning. Until then, have a great weekend ahead.